What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Good morning, Millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast and happy Tuesday. Hope everybody's having a great day. I'm joined by my co-host who is stealing my Luke.
Or are you stealing my Luke?
We're wearing the same Luke combs.
Different sweaters, but similar enough that I think we'll look really nice on the YouTube today. Maybe you should mosey on over to see these gorgeous girls.
Let me tell you the funniest thing that happened to me. I've been up since the crack of dawn. Today is the day the movers come, pack and load the truck. Tomorrow they deliver everything to the new place. And so I've just been up, you know, doing a million things. I did start a moving vlog. While I said I wouldn't do a home tour, I will do a moving vlog so you can see, like, a lot of people ask for an empty apartment tour of my old place.
Yeah, that's okay. Fun.
Sure. And then you'll see like a sneak peek of the new place, just a little bit. Everybody was so respectful. I'm like, wait, you don't want it?
That's all you had to do.
I was posting on Instagram about my move and how the movers were there. And so I was like, I was hyping up the moving company that I use, which is Roadway. You use them. And I was like, they're so fab. Jackie used them to move to Florida. Somebody DM'd me. She was like, wait, Jackie lives in Florida? How does she do the toast? We are killing it with our YouTube setup.
But maybe they're just a podcast listener and Right. Nothing's changed for them.
Right.
We've got the Shure premium microphones. We've got the Rodecaster. We could be anywhere in the world, La.
We should be anywhere in the world.
If you could be anywhere in the world, La, where would you be?
At this very moment?
Yeah.
In my new apartment with everything unpacked and all my furniture delivered. Like, the journey I have ahead of me is very daunting and overwhelming. So if I could just be at the end of it, whew.
You're a few days away from your dream. That's really not bad. Some people are years away, if that.
That was me.
That was you. I'm just saying dreams in general.
Yeah.
And especially dreams. For Californians, because they're the elk of dreamers.
Yeah, that's so true.
They could wait a lifetime.
For a dream like this.
Yeah.
So sure. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah. Californians, don't stop dreaming.
Don't stop dreaming. So that's like just a little bit about me. Crazy moving girl, new apartment. Yeah.
She's just crazy for change, that law turd.
That law turd is so crazy for change. My book club met last night.
I want to hear all about it because you guys read The Measure, which was a Redheads book club book. We read it back in March. I really liked it. I thought it was a great book for a book club. So I know you didn't like it, but how did the book club discussion go?
Mixed reviews all around. I would say 3 out of 5 didn't like it. We were missing 2 members. So 3 out of 5 liked it. 2 out of 5 didn't. We're usually a group of 7. It did spark interesting conversation. I did listen to the Redheads episode before so I could have like some fire talking points, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping nobody else listened to it because then they would know I was like regurgitating other people's brilliant ideas. And I don't think anyone did, thank God. It was a great book club. I always eat so good at book club. That's why we call ourselves the Balabusta Book Club, because we get a homemade meal every time. And last night was no different. We had bolognese. We had steak.
I saw Abe's story.
We had a roast chicken with rice. He went and made 3 entrees. It was so good. And then my friend Rachel made her famous chocolate chip biscotti cookies. Like I left like with gas.
That's good. But I want to hear more about the book and the discussion.
So the general consensus of the book was like, none of the characters were interesting.
Agreed.
We didn't like any of the characters.
Agreed.
Like the one we all agreed that we liked best was Ben.
I was going to say Ben. Yeah.
But even then, like, he wasn't great or compelling. So we didn't like the characters. We did argue over like fate versus free will. But the general consensus that we came to is that it really felt like the writer was trying to say something. It felt like she was trying to make
an agenda.
Not an agenda. She was trying to make a statement about something, and we literally couldn't figure out what it was. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, to me, and this wasn't for everyone, and certainly not what the writer had intended, because she literally wrote it before kind of the COVID madness. But for me, Dana and Snitch, like, it was the book on COVID. It was about the vaccines. It was so analogous. Like, I couldn't see it any other way, even though she literally explicitly said, that's not what this is.
I didn't see it that way. I brought that up. Nobody else saw it that way.
Nobody saw it that way. Wow.
No, a lot of people, like, thought of COVID, but they didn't think of, like, the short stringers and the long stringers as people who got vaccinated and people who didn't. I think maybe it was a statement, like, on discrimination.
Yeah, I think so.
But I don't feel like it was a very well, like, it wasn't clear what her message was from the book.
I think it was about, like, discrimination, marginalized people, the treatment of people.
Okay.
Unfairly.
That really didn't come through for me.
Yeah, I understand that.
I just, when I finished the book, I was like, what is the point? Why did it, like, what was the point of this book?
Well, it definitely makes you think.
It wasn't entertaining.
Okay.
I really didn't like it.
I'm sorry to hear that. I did like it. I really did. And I think about it all the time, like, since, because I'm just, like, always thinking about the string. Not always thinking about it, but so many things bring me back to the string concept.
No, I haven't thought about it since. We did agree that it was, like, a good book club book. It sparked, you know, interesting conversation. And we're just really struggling. Like, we have not had a book since The Rose Code that everybody liked, or even, like, most people liked. We're in a rut. And for our next book, everyone in my book club is Jewish. And we were thinking of doing a book on Israel just so we can, like, you know, learn. But we all agreed, like, that's a little boring. Like,
yeah. You could do something that's, like, adjacent to Israel. Like, you know, why there's a need for Israel sort of thing. Like, about people, yeah, like, emigrating. But also, you guys probably know a lot more than the right average reader because you've, like, grown up with it.
Yeah. So we haven't picked a book for next month, but it was a great meeting of the crew. And so, by the way, we've had 3 babies born in our book club.
Wow.
Sorry, 2, excuse me. But the next book club, Margo will most likely miss because she's due any day now. So we're just kind of like a really we're like a traditional book club.
Well, we would know it by the name. I do feel like the name sums it up.
Kind of gives it away.
You're just, like, childbearing, eating, cooking women.
Yeah, no, we literally are in the 50s. We should have read, even though everyone in the book club's already read it, but as a group, we should have read Lessons in Chemistry, because, like, that book was for us.
I'm obsessed with Lessons in Chemistry. I haven't watched it yet. I got the PR package from HBO, and it was really, really cute, except I wasn't...
HBO, it's on Apple.
Sorry oh, to the PR company. Yeah, it was Apple. It came while I was in New York, so it didn't really work out, but they sent a lasagna bolognese in, like, this L.L. Bean cooler bag.
Was it kosher?
No, and it was rotten by the time I got home.
Yum.
I couldn't
Thanks,
have eaten
Apple.
It anyway, but it was a cute idea, and it's this huge cooler bag. It's the coolest bag. It says supper at 6. It came with, like, a notebook for your recipes, some, like, alcohol-free wines. It was so cute.
That is cute.
I'm just, you, like, just obsessed with Lessons in Chemistry, and I just don't want to watch it because, like, it's something I'll always have to look forward to.
We talked about it at book club because a lot of people were annoyed that it's being released, like, one episode at a time. So some people had started it, some people had not. I think everyone in the book club has read the book. But we were talking how we didn't think it was, like, an amazing casting for Brie Larson.
She's never going to be my go-to, you know what I mean? But she's a solid citizen. Like, for me, it would have been, like, January Jones, you know, because that's...
Oh, my God, it would have been January
Jones.
She's
someone, like, you can get really excited about. Like, I personally don't get, like, so excited about Brie Larson, but she's just, like, a great, solid actress, and she'll be very good.
Yeah. You just reminded me that about PR packages. I don't know how to do this in any other way, and I just feel like a lot of the girlies who work for, like, brands and PR companies listen to the toast. I'm moving, so if you have an address on file for me, like, don't send stuff there anymore. Like, if you need my new address, we'll get it to you, but just don't send any more boxes, please. I don't know how else to get that message
people
across.
Like, post that on their Instagram stories, influencers I've seen.
Yeah, I just feel like that's not gonna hone in for people. Like, I think the toast is really kind of transformative in that way.
I think that's great. I hope that all your boxes get where they need to go.
Oh God, me too.
Which eventually is in the garbage because you're the sweeper.
I am the sweeper. I swept, literally, update from yesterday with the closet organizers and the decluttering girlies. Ben did an amazing job. We literally, I own half of my earthly possessions now than I did yesterday. I feel so light. And then when the movers came, like, there's 1 million boxes and they, like, are just getting started. I have so much crap.
Yeah, there's a lot of boxes, but that's also because they, you know, pack sparsely and they give space for everything.
They make space.
Yeah, don't, like, sometimes you see so many boxes, but there's not, like, so much in them.
Yeah, so that's true.
It's okay.
Okay.
They like to make space and leave space for everyone.
They like to make space, yeah. So that's my moving update. Vlog is in process, and it's a very exciting week for me. How's everything going with you, Jax, mother of two, back at work full time?
Things are going well. Being back at work, very exciting. Speaking of vlogs, I actually just posted a vlog this weekend that people are kind of loving. It was like my book launch week vlog, and it started out like really, really excited. So much excitement. And then just like little by little, chipping away at that until, you know, the excitement completely petered out after October 7th. But it was a journey, and I do like a really big try on haul of like all these authorial looks, a little postpartum conversation about how I'm feeling, where I'm at, what size jeans I'm wearing.
Brave.
Yeah. Just cause I don't know. I was just like feeling like chatting to ya.
You were feeling brave.
No, I don't even feel like it was brave.
Okay.
I just feel like it was real.
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 And there's another vlog on the Patreon. We both did vlogs. We actually, it's going to be a vlog-heavy month, but that's just because there's so many exciting things happening in our lives this month. I had a vlog right before that, trying on clothes for LA, which was traumatizing. So lots of try-ons, lots of girly, swirly action on the Patreon.
Yeah, the people love the try-ons.
It's the worst. Like, for the person filming it, there's no worse experience. For the people watching it, there's no greater experience.
So we do it for you. And then we have some other episodes brewing this month I'm really excited about. And that's really exciting. I can't believe October is almost coming to a close. It's zoomed by.
Zoomed by in a flash. I'm looking forward to the end of year because it's the best time of year. Mm-hmm. I have a new apartment where I could see the snow by Christmas. But it is making me sad. Like, my year of yes, wasn't that yesterday?
It was yes today.
I'm almost 1 year into saying yes.
And then next year, what will you say?
No.
Really?
No, I don't know. I have enjoyed, by the way, saying yes to life. I would recommend it.
Hmm. So you'll say yes again next year, no?
I'll have to reevaluate where I'm at New Year's, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want to make any blanket statements.
Resolutions.
Yeah.
Well, it's very exciting. The holidays are coming up. So festive.
It's the greatest time of year, and it's here. Help me celebrate it. Joy to the world and everyone. Lift up your banner with lights. There's a favorite. That's like an underrated holiday bop. Like, everybody knows Kelly Clarkson, but what about Ali and AJ?
Honestly, they know it. It's there. It's rated. Okay. I feel like people give it the props it deserves.
I mean, it's that time of year again where we're nonstop going to be talking about Kelly Clarkson's
album
Christmas Spectacular.
It's so good. I can't wait to like go all in.
I wonder what Kelly has up her sleeve this year for holiday. She always does something. Remember last year was the big NBC special with all those guests, Ariana Grande.
Yes. And she put out another holiday album. I don't know if it was last year or the year before. Also,
hopefully
good.
She's got some big plans on her Patreon.
She bet. Kelly needs a Patreon.
I would sign up in a second.
I just like want her to cook for me.
Yeah, and she has like, she's very homey because she has that, you know, Wayfair furniture line. She has, you know, the kids, the Christmas songs. She's kind of like a Martha Stewart in the making.
Children's book.
Right.
Yeah.
It's time. Kelly, patreon.com/Kelly Clarkson.
After patreon.com/the toast.
After. How are the stories today?
They're good. Brittany is taking over the news. I don't think we're talking about her today, but her book did come out today. So yes. There's just like a million stories, bombshells from the book. I am going to read it. I started the new Sophie Kinsella book, which I'm just like not really loving right now. And I read a really similar book last year. So I'm like kind of regretting having started it. But I love Sophie Kinsella. She's my favorite author. So I'm going to push through. Then I have to read the Redheads book, which... first Thursday of November, reading The Dead Romantics. Read along with us. It's like spooky season.
Who picked it?
Rebecca.
I never heard of it.
It's like a new book. It's a comedy, like a rom-com, but also a bit spooky. Perfect for Halloween. And then I will read Brittany's book. So I'm a little backed up.
I suggested to the book club that maybe we try memoir since we're just kind of like striking out with every select. And nobody was into the idea. I was brutally rebuffed.
I would read Brittany's book for the redheads, but I know Dana's the next pick and she's not going to pick that.
Definitely not.
I wouldn't even want her to because she always pick like leads us into interesting territory.
Yeah, yeah.
And her end of year book, her December pick, is always like the best book of the year.
A bang out.
We had Addie LaRue, Midnight Library, Horse.
Midnight Library was one of the worst books.
What? You're crazy.
I couldn't even finish it. It was horrible.
It was so short.
Oh my God, so fucking depressing.
It was a little depressing, but it makes you think.
I've just had enough with thinking, you know?
I know. I feel that way. So I'm like, I'm going to read a mindless book. And now I'm reading a mindless book. And I'm like, well, this is a waste of my time.
Okay, that's so real. I literally flip-flop between World War II books and pornography. And every time I'm reading pornography, I'm like, this is such a waste of my intellect. Mm-hmm. And every time I'm reading World War II, I'm like, my God, this is fucking depressing.
Yeah, like I just want to keep it light and bright.
So true. It's so hard to be such an avid reader and an intellect.
Yeah. It's just hard to find like books that like walk the middle line that are like entertaining and also good quality reads.
Also, I think the more that I read, like the higher my bar.
Of course.
Is. I feel like last year I probably had like 10 or 15 five-star books. This year I might have two.
But that's also because when you were a new reader, everyone recommended the five-star books to you. And you read them all first. And now you're like going through the fours and the three stars.
Oh my God, that's so real.
Like we all read Luckiest Girl Alive, Crawdads, Evelyn Hugo first. And everything else just kind of like pales in comparison.
It's so true.
Yeah.
And I'm like... I just want everyone at Goodreads to know, like, I am on to you. I am on to you and your fraudulent ways. I need to look into, like, who owns Goodreads.
Because Amazon.
No, I'm telling you.
It's Jeff.
A publishing house has to own it. And they're hyping up their books that sting. Like, do you know how many, like, Goodreads famous books I've read that are some of the biggest piles of shit I've ever read in my life?
Well, that's just, like, book world.
No, I'm telling you, Goodreads is like a industry plant.
Oh my gosh, don't say that. I love Goodreads and I use it I engage with it in a very genuine and authentic way. I'm on it right. So
by the way,
I was literally on it this morning.
All of their users do. Like the users aren't the problem. I'm telling you, like people go to Goodreads with the purest of hearts. It's the people at the top that are starting stuff.
No, and Goodreads does have a gap in their product in terms of book recommendations. Like
yes.
They're always like recommending like To Kill a Mockingbird. It's like, that's just not what I want to read. And like when you go to like lists, like, okay, so I have my favorite genres here. Let's click historical fiction. It is like the oldest list of books from like the last 20 years. Like, where's the fresh ones?
No, and on Amazon, when you go to a movie, one of my favorite things to do is like, if I'm in the mood to watch something like Nancy Meyers-ish, I'll go to like The Holiday and go to Customers Also Watched. And that algorithm is amazing. Every time I look, I find what I'm looking for. Goodreads needs that.
For sure. You can find it on Amazon. The thing is, Turdy, not to toot our own horns, but like we actually really... influence that section. Like when you go to any of the books that we love, if you went to like Customers Also Read, it's like all the other books that we love.
I know, it's like a circle jerk of the same books.
Because we started the jerk.
We did.
That's like so our us. Influence is just like too vast. I'm seriously like not even kidding. Like if you wanted to read something similar to Evelyn Hugo or
Luckiest Girl Alive would come up.
Yeah, like it's all the book. Well, Evelyn Hugo everyone loves, but I'm just saying like even some of the random books we like, then it's just all the other books that we've recommended.
No, we're too powerful for our own good.
And it's like, who recommends to us?
That's what I'm saying.
Where do I get my recommendations? I get them from the redheads, like community listeners. I get them from Dana too. She reads a lot and she'll tell me like something that she thinks I would like.
I get my recommendations from you. Having said that, I think now that I'm like more of a avid reader and I have my particular likes and interests, I don't think your recommendations serve me anymore. Like, I think we have really different styles.
Yes, but I feel like I don't recommend that much to you because I think a lot of what I read, like, I know you wouldn't like.
Right.
So I'm kind of out of recommendations for you.
Yeah, I don't know where to go for recommendations. Book recommendations are really hard. I feel like there are so many places for TV recommendations, but not books.
Because it means someone has to sit and read it. And that's why people also join.
Books are so personal.
That's like, also why people like, you know, do follow Reese's Book Club or Oprah.
Yeah.
But it's kind of hit or miss over there.
But it's also just personal.
Yeah. And it's just like sometimes it's not the vibe. Sorry.
Right. For one person. But another person's favorite book can be someone's like literal like zero star piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, you have to follow book clubs. Even like Emma Roberts has her book club, and we've overlapped a lot. And I've read like some of the books that she recommends, like Perchance, but she's a little sometimes not my vibe. I can't explain what the vibe is, but it's not mine sometimes.
The vibe is personal.
That's why you have to create your own book club. And
yeah, but even I created my own book club, and like we're in our flop era.
Yeah. That's, but anyways, that's what I'm saying. Like, that is an app that needs to be made where it's like a better generator for recommendations and like community shared interests.
No, and they're not, you know, pushing product from publishing houses that they own.
I will look who owns Goodreads, because I know you can connect your Amazon.
I don't think Amazon owns it. I'm telling you, Penguin Random House, like some big publishing company. I'm onto something.
Goodreads is an American social cataloging website and a subsidiary of Amazon that allows individuals to search its database of books.
What publishing houses does Amazon own?
Oh, that's a... What publishing house?
Guys, I'm telling you, I'm like, I know I'm onto something. They probably own a lot.
They have Amazon Publishing.
Yeah, and like Kindle Unlimited, like they have a lot of Kindle exclusive authors.
Does Amazon have a publishing house? No, not.
Jackie, they're hiding it.
Why the Penguin Random House merger is also about Amazon.
I literally told you.
The U.S. wants to stop Penguin Random House from buying Simon & Schuster. The elephant in the room is Amazon.
This is giving younger.
Totally.
Whatever, like whatever it is, I know it's buried in paperwork and shell companies. Penguin Random House owns Goodreads. You heard it here first.
Goodreads.
Shut up, I hate you. Should we dive in?
Yeah, might as well dive in to the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
And the Fast Five stories that you need to know are brought to you by Saks.com. We are always doing our best when it comes to looking fabulous on the podcast. Sometimes our pajama uniforms and sweatshirts, shade, do need a little bit of an upgrade. And that's why we love shopping at Saks.com for everything from podcast looks to GNO outfits and more. So if you're looking to get your summer wardrobe, you know, your capsule wardrobe in check, Saks.com is a fabulous, fun, and flirty place to shop. They have all the best designers that we know and love, and they're also really fab at discovering new up-and-coming designers that you can get before everyone else does, and then you're the coolest girl in town. Saks.com is super fun and easy to shop on. So whether you're going for a cozy fall vibe, a more elevated look, they've got it all at Saks.com, and it's really easy to shop. They have different categories. You can shop by occasion. So if you're going on vacation and you need like work looks, you go to a conference, maybe you've got a crush on your coworker, you need a cute blazer suit, they'll help you out with their fabulous, fun, easy, and fresh way to shop. You can also shop, they get really specific. You can shop by your star sign. So they're making it easy for you horoscope girls. You can find the perfect revenge dress from brands like Christopher Esber and Cult Gaia. I love discovering new brands at Saks.com. They're also just amazing. They have great customer service. They have great shipping. It's also just a big database. I hate when you're shopping on websites and you literally like get to the end of the product. You know, you can never get to the end of the pages at Saks.com. Like there's just endless. So discover new ways to shop for everything every day at Saks.com. That's Saks.com. Thank you, Saks, for sponsoring today's episode. Today's episode is also brought to you by BetterHelp. Do you ever feel like your brain is getting in its own way? Like you know what you should do, you know what's good for you, but you just cannot seem to do it? Well, therapy helps you figure out what's holding you back so you can work on yourself instead of against yourself. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, why don't you give BetterHelp a try? It's done entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. That is, in my opinion, one of the best things about BetterHelp, because so many things about in-person therapy can be really awkward, especially if you don't vibe with your first or second or even third therapist, which is totally normal because what's more personal than therapy? Nothing. They make it easy. So it's like not awkward. You don't have to go and call and cancel. They'll just switch you. And then you could talk to your next therapist, whatever medium you're most comfortable with. So you can text, you can video call, you can regular phone call, like back in the day. So whatever you're most comfortable with, whatever you can be the most honest with, always, never a bad time to start therapy. And BetterHelp is an amazing, affordable, and very accessible option. So make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/toast today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/toast. BetterHelp.com/TOAST. You know, if you're trying to fall asleep at night and your thoughts don't stop racing, put those thoughts to bed. Therapy is always the answer. Today's episode is also brought to you by Seed. Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic is a plant-based prebiotic and probiotic with 24 strain that has been clinically or scientifically studied for its benefits. It's free from 14 classes of allergens defined by EFSA. It's sugar-free, it's vegan, it's soy-free, it's sesame-free, it's gluten-free, it's peanut-free, it's AMPA-free, dairy-free, shellfish-free, corn-free. So if you've been wanting to start taking a prebiotic, or you've taken one in the past that hasn't worked for you, Seed is the best in the business. You take two capsules once a day on an empty stomach, and it's engineered to survive your external and internal environments. Their capsule and capsule via cap safeguards viability through digestion for delivery of an average 100% of your probiotic starting dose to your colon. So there's so many benefits, you know, for your digestive health, a lot of benefits for your skin. You know, if you're not making the best duties, you're not consistent, maybe they're a little sharp, you want to make a big soft duty, check out Seed. Also, the skin health is really fabulous, because similar to your gut, your skin has its own microbiome, and your skin is home to trillions of microorganisms and their byproducts, collectively known as your skin microbiome. So get it together. Like, get on a prebiotic, probiotic. Seed is the place, the DS01 Daily Symbiotic. You can avoid gut mania and head to the trusted source for symbiotics. Start a new healthy habit today. Visit seed.com/toast and use code TOAST to redeem 30% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. That's seed, SEED.com/toast, and use code TOAST, TOAST, at seed.com/toast to redeem 30% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic.
Thank you, Claude.
You're welcome.
Our first story, Kim Kardashian is launching Skims for men. She dropped the ad campaign yesterday featuring athletes like Brazilian soccer star Neymar da Silva Santos Jr., NBA star Shai Gilgeous-Alexander of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and NFL defensive end Nick Bosa of the San Francisco 49ers. Bang, bang, bang party, bang. Lou.
I saw this, like, and I gasped. I was obsessed. I love Nick Bosa. Not enough people talk about him. He's literally the hottest man alive.
I didn't know him, and I'm like part of Bang Bang Niners gang.
I really only know him because of his thighs. Like, have you seen the thighs? They were actually talking about his thighs on the broadcast last night.
You know him from his thighs before he was in his undies?
Yes.
Where did you see his thighs?
Like, anytime they're on TV, Jackie, they're the biggest things. Just Google Nick Bosa thighs.
I'm not going to Google gonna that. You're going to be shook. I'm going to just they're Google Nick Bosa and see if his thighs stand out to me.
Okay, because it's giving, you know, Tessa Bailey novel.
Okay, I'm on my way. Images.
They're like enormous.
Yeah. But like, don't all football players have like big thighs?
Yes, his are, I believe, to be extraordinary.
I can't with you. We were talking on the phone yesterday. Is this man single? And if so, is he dating Kim?
I mean, I have to imagine if Kim was on set, they definitely went for dinner. Like, I'm sorry, you just can't be around someone that hot.
Yeah. Oh, wait. It looks like he had a girlfriend. When was this? In 2021.
We're safe.
Yeah. It's like if they're not engaged by now, like they're definitely probably not together.
I love that Skims launched for men. I think that's really, really smart. I like that she got creative. You know, Skims is an international brand, so I don't know this Brazilian footballer, but I'm sure he's like a huge deal.
Well, the name Neymar is a big name in football, but then there was a junior. So I'm wondering if this is like the son of the big Neymar, or if this is Neymar himself.
The son of a preacher man.
The son of a big Neymar.
Literally. I wish she did like a few more people.
Yeah.
Three isn't enough.
We were also saying that who she needed to have in this campaign was David Beckham.
Now, I'm sure the campaign was shot before Beckham mania, but Skims is really good about turning around like people who get famous. Remember when they did the two girls from White Lotus, like the day they got famous? They're really good about turning shit around. I would have loved it. And David is friends with
Kim, and Victoria's friends with Kim, and she was just at the show sitting next to David.
Yeah.
Like theorizing her men's drop, knowing he has a documentary coming out. It was honestly a little bit of a missed opportunity. Plus, it would bring in an older generation of men. Like,
But do you think that him doing a shoot for like another company is like a conflict of interest? His wife, like, she makes clothes
for women.
Yeah, I guess.
But he might, like, you know, have already an underwear sponsorship.
Oh, for sure. By the way, for sure. I'm sure she's actually pretty limited in who wasn't contractually tied to another underwear company like Calvin Klein.
Or even like Nike.
Yeah.
You probably couldn't do also Skims because it's not just undies, it's shirts, it's apparel.
Yeah. So that's actually a really good point.
She kind of had to go with these untethered people. Also, it looks like Neymar is the Neymar.
He's the Neymar.
The Neymar. That's a big deal in the soccer world.
I loved this. I did watch a 49ers game last night, and I have some harsh thoughts for one Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy-Lou?
Jack, he stunk it up. Like, he lost the game for everyone. He threw two interceptions. Like, they had that fighting chance at the end. Then he threw this interception. And you know what? They still had a chance. Literally 20 seconds left. They could have made a touchdown if they wanted to.
But you're saying they didn't want to.
Interception, Brock.
So here's...
It wasn't even close. It was almost like maybe he needs glasses. Because the guy we threw to, like, wasn't even close to one of his actual teammates. Maybe he thought that guy was on his team.
So here's what I think. It's different with a quarterback because they really are responsible for how the game plays out. But, like, if one person is responsible for, like, you winning or losing, like, what about the rest of the team?
Agreed.
Like, when David Beckham, when they didn't win that World Cup because, like, David was out of the game, it's like... Well, what about the rest of the team? Like, where's the accountability for you guys? You can't win a game without this one player, and we're all going to be mad at the one player who's been apparently winning every game for you?
Yeah, quarterback's a little different, but I do agree with you wholeheartedly. And I will say, the San Francisco's 49ers defense was not defending in the way that they needed to.
They weren't defense.
No.
Damn. So it's just an off night. And I don't think it's right to blame it all on Brock Turtaloo, but I hear what you're saying. He wasn't playing beautiful football.
Because we keep saying for the Super Bowl, like, it's going to be either the Chiefs, Eagles, or the 49ers. And they were all 5-1 last week. So they're even. The Eagles, as of this week, are 6-1. The Chiefs are 6-1. And now the 49ers are 5-2.
Okay. I understand your disappointment, Turdy. But they're allowed to, like, have one bad game.
It's two in a row.
And as long as it's not, I was just watching the Kelce documentary and the Eagles had like a bad couple games right before they made the Super Bowl too. So it's like, it's going to be okay. Maybe it's good to work these things out now, make the mistakes now.
I want more for my friends on the team. I don't know if I've mentioned, like, I'm actually really friendly with a lot of the players. Like, we're kind of like lifelong friends, me and Kyle and George. And like, I want more for them.
It hurts because you're an empath.
It hurts. That's the thing. It's hard to be a football fan when you're so deeply empathetic.
Yeah, to both teams, to players on both teams.
No, and I know how hard my friends, Kyle and George, I know how hard they work, you know, year round. And I want them to succeed because that's the type of person I am. Like, I lift others up.
Who did they play last night?
Like, some losery ass team. Oh, sorry, no offense.
Minnesota? The Ravens.
Oh, yeah. Wait, no. Sorry. I got the colors. They're both purple. Vikings. They're actually not a losery ass team. They're fine. But, like, their record was, like, 2-5. So, like, they are stinkers, in, you know, relative to the league.
Yeah.
It should have been an easy game. A team that's 5-1 is playing a team that's 1-5. Like, where's the logic?
Yeah, maybe there's greatness on that team. That was another thought I had when I was watching Beckham. When, like, he went to Real Madrid and every great player in the world is on Real Madrid. And then they start, like, losing. And they lost their first game. And it's like, well, I want to watch a documentary about that other team because it looks like there's greatness over there.
Big week for them.
Yeah, like, or no, maybe they're just an incredible team. It was like Mallorca. They just, like, always beated them. And I'm like, maybe I should be watching a documentary about Mallorca.
They always beated them.
They always beated them.
I love sports. Like, I can't believe I wasted so much of my life, like, not being interested in it. I kind of want to go to the Jets game this Sunday because I'm obsessed and I love the Jets. Like, that's my team.
That is. So that's where you've landed?
That's where I've landed. Well, I have many teams. Let's not forget. 49ers, like, but I'm for my home team. People are always like Giants, Jets. It's the Jets.
Yeah, I feel that. I don't feel simpatico with the Giants. I don't know them.
Me neither. I think it was because our dad was a Jets fan.
Yeah.
Our dad was also a Mets fan.
That's tougher.
Yeah, because, like, when it comes to Mets and Yankees, like, the Yankees are just fabulous. They're like the richest team in the MLB. They're so historic. You know, they were on Seinfeld. George Costanza worked for them. Like, they're so New York.
No, and it's like, we have two New York teams. One is incredibly good and one is incredibly bad. Why would you electively root for the bad team?
By the way, that's like not the case anymore. That was the case when we were growing up. But the Mets,
I feel like it's more so the case than ever. The Yankees are always like World Series adjacent, even if they don't make it to the series.
No, Jackie, that was literally when we were in middle school.
That was literally like 2 years ago.
No.
The Mets and World Series haven't been uttered in the same sentence.
No, but the Mets have Pete Alonso.
And Mike Piazza.
And Matt Harvey, I think.
No, he's down and out. I don't think he works anymore.
Oh, jealous.
So, Nick Bosa and his undies.
Oh, that's what I was saying. I just love sports. Like, I need to get more. And Ben's like, now Ben is really excited because he comes home and like, I'm watching football. And Ben doesn't love football. He's really into basketball. He's like, the Knicks start next week. And I'm just like, I kind of don't care. Basketball doesn't do it for me.
No, basketball's, it's not as relaxing as football. It's kind of frantic.
No, the most frantic is hockey. Like, how in the fuck are we supposed to see that puck? It's tiny and it moves so fast.
And also the field is smaller than like a football field and they go faster on their skates. So it's like we're just shuffling up and down the field.
It's also very violent.
Yeah. It's dangerous.
It's dangerous.
I don't mind hockey though. I actually like hockey.
Yeah, I like it too because you get to wear like a nice chunky sweater if you go to a game.
It's cold.
Yeah, where it's like a basketball game, like you're rubbing up against people, sweating your titties off.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
Yeah. So Skims Men, check it out for your mans. Looking forward to seeing other models in future drops.
Yeah, I thought this was smart and I want more.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Speaking of sports.
I think they need Ben Soffer celebrity.
If they could get him.
If he's not already contractually obligated to Gildan. Those are the types of underwears he wear. From Amazon. Look, because Ben was buying Calvin Klein underwear and it's literally a pack of three for $33.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm sorry. Are you the Queen of England?
Right.
Like, why do you need such expensive underwear? And he's like, because they're so good. Like the band is really tight and it like holds me in. I'm like, let me just try. And I literally ordered the first one I saw off of Amazon, a pack of like 100 for $3. He's obsessed. Obsessed.
You should get him Skims Men because they're a sponsor. So reach out.
Yeah. Okay. I'll try. I'll see if he likes it.
Yeah. I'm sure they're delicious.
Like when Ben was wearing more expensive underwear than me, I was like, there's a problem here.
Agreed.
Thank you.
Our next story, some more sports news. Travis Kelce's dad, Ed, is praising very sweet Taylor Swift for picking up trash in the suite. He said she's not a diva. So Taylor Swift just got the seal of approval from Ed Kelce, her boyfriend's dad. Ed had nothing but praise to for the singer after meeting her for the first time at the October 12th Kansas City Chiefs game. Talking to People magazine on Monday, he described Swift as a very, very sweet, very charming, down-to-earth young woman. He also noted that Swift's intelligence comes through right away. He said that he recalled a very special moment when he realized Swift was a very genuine person rather than a diva. He said, quote, we're sitting in the suite. She gets up and in the front of the room, she gets up to go get a drink or something. And she starts picking up empty bottles, cans, plates that are scattered around. Because in the suites, everybody gets stuff and you empty it down wherever you can. And I'm just thinking, I don't think she got the diva memo. She didn't get the spoiled musician. She doesn't know how to pull that off. And that to me really said a whole lot.
There's just something so interesting here that, like, if one of Taylor's boyfriends in the past had their dad do a People magazine interview, I'd be like, what the fuck? Something with the Kelce's is so precious. Like, they're really just like this down-home family. They're not thirsty because they get attention very naturally. Yeah. Like, they don't need to be thirsty. So I could see a world in which a story like this in another scenario like would have rubbed me the wrong way, even though he's saying nice things. But something about it is so precious.
I think also the anecdote that he's sharing, like if he just spoke to People magazine to like get his name out there and say like, oh, she's nice. It was a fun day. Like, OK, like
get his name out there.
Yeah, I would be like, OK, sit down. But he's sharing these behind the scenes tidbits that show Taylor in such a favorable light, but also speak to like future daughter-in-law dynamics. Like when you meet your in-laws, like, yeah, you better start picking up the garbage around. Like you, that
can I help with the dishes?
Yeah. You put the dishes in the sink. You know, you dry off the dishes. Like that's something that you do. And I feel as though him sharing this with all of us, it's something we can all relate to of like, yeah, get to work. Like you're trying to impress the rents.
get to work. Yeah, no, it's so relatable in so many ways. And I don't know, like, the more we learn, the more convinced, like Heather McDonald said on the show Toast, like, she thinks they're going to get married. And I thought it was so crazy. But, like, honestly, yeah. I went from not believing that these two had ever met to, okay, acknowledging that they're, like, hooking up and it's, like, a fun, fresh fling to fully believing, like, they're getting married.
I'm on my way there as well, honestly. And I said that that would not be the case. But I feel like they like each other so much. I think their lifestyles really complement each other.
Yeah. And they say, like, if you have to date an athlete, scheduling-wise, it's best to date a footballer because their season's the shortest.
Yeah, and they have one game a week.
I think the worst is baseball.
Yeah. That's what I've heard.
They have one game a week, right? Like, Travis is out and about with her up until, like, Friday.
And baseball, they have, like, 7 games in one city.
Yeah, like, it's insane.
I just learned about that.
Yeah, I know.
That every baseball game is a series.
Yeah, I told you that on the show.
I know. I'm still wrapping my head around it.
Yeah, no, it's dumb.
So the Subway Series growing up, I thought it was a World Series between the both New York teams.
No, and it happens every year, and it's 7 games, the Yankees versus the Mets.
Moronic.
Moronic. Like, who's coming up with these ideas? Not us.
As if a baseball game isn't long enough. We have to do it 7 times just to make sure.
We don't even talk about that. Football games are actually low-key long too, let's be real. But I like it, so
I can't talk about baseball without getting this song in my head. Like, root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 'Cause it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
It's a gorgeous song. Like, that's the thing about baseball. We can clown on it, but it really is, like, the most historic, like, American. Like, they were playing that shit, like, in the, you know, 1400s.
The Great Depression.
Yeah, and, like, all those songs. Like, you're singing a song that the New Yorkers of yore used to sing.
Yeah, it connects me to the people of the past.
Right, and also, like, you know, we want a homer, just a little homer, H-O-M-E-R, homer, homer, homer.
We want a pitcher, not a belly itcher, P-I-T-C-H-E-R, pitcher, pitcher, pitcher.
How does it go? Because it goes, we want a single, just a little single,
S-I-N-G-L-E, single.
Let me sing. We want a double, just a little double. D-O-U-B-L-E, double, double, double. We want a triple, just a little triple. Yeah. T-R-I-P-L-E, triple, triple. And then how does it go?
We want a homer. Just a little homer. Maybe the H-O-H-O-M, H-O-M-E-R-U-N.
H-O-M-E-R-U-N, home run. Run.
Turdy.
Let's go.
Hit
one. By the way, you're right about that.
Yeah, then it's a key change. Gets crazy. Remix.
Oh, that's why I like that song, the key change.
And a remix. Fricka, fricka, fresh.
H-O-H-O-M, H-O-M-E-R-U-N, home run. Turdy.
Hit one, run. Then run.
By the way, no other sport has songs like that. We need to reevaluate the musical element.
Yeah, it counts for something. Oh, I guess football has, oh, Sunday night.
Okay. And you know what? You know what basketball has? OGs will remember. What?
Do what you're going to do, but I know what basketball has.
Friday night, Knicks on MSG, got a front row seat. Do it just to get there.
They also have national anthem, Fergie's version.
So true. Cannot be understated.
No, but no one's got that spirit like baseball does. And that's, like,
you're right. And that history.
That history. There is something there.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
So, Ed Kelsey, Taylor picking up the trash in the suite.
So sweet. So sweet. She's a pop star and, you know, a sanitation girly. We love.
Yeah. And, you know, trying to impress daughter-in-law of the future. Like, so you know she's taking this seriously.
It's so true. Or she just, like, naturally
is a sweeper.
Yeah. Oh my God, we have so much in common. She's a sweeper. I sweep, like, yeah. Okay, let me ask you a question. When you're out at a restaurant and you go to the bathroom and you're washing your hands and they have, like, the garbage holes, you know, like the counter has a hole in it and it's the trash, and there's, like, water all over the counter and, like, people's paper towels, do you clean it up?
No.
Oh, I do.
That's unsanitary.
Yeah, I know.
Yikes.
But I'm like, I'm a sweeper. Like, I can't let that counter
You're
a
sweeper to your
like,
core, but to your own detriment. Yeah. Sweeping is not serving you in this instance.
Does nobody else do that?
Sound off in the comments.
I feel like that. I thought that was like a universal thing.
No, that's really like unsanitary. Because still, someone has to like wipe down the counter anyway. So you're just like absorbing germs for what?
To help. To sweep.
It's in her blood.
It's in my blood.
She can't turn it on and off.
No, I wouldn't even if I could.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
RIP to this ship. Tom Brady and Arena Shake's relationship has fizzled. There's no drama, says a source, but the two are no longer spending time together. The pair, who were first linked in July, have gone their separate ways after their relationship fizzled out, multiple sources tell People. TMZ was the first to report the news. The source said Irina was very...
Oh, no. She did all this to make him jealous, and Bradley Cooper's seeing someone now.
Oh, yeah. She, like...
So...
She overplayed like, the
mission
hand.
Mission aborted. Yeah.
Yeah. It happens.
Yeah, no, you got... When you're that beautiful, I totally understand. Like, you have to be careful.
But you
got to
get the timing right of, like, you know, yeah. of the usury of one person.
Right.
Because you
right.
could to, push like, the other to make too them far jealous. Away. Right.
And that's exactly what happened.
Ugh, Irina, I feel for her. This girl, like, she can't catch a break.
She cannot get arrested.
Damn, well, Irina was very attracted to Tom, the source says. She liked dating him. It excited her.
Wow, that's so different of her.
It excited her.
She's very attractive.
They had fun traveling to see each other. In the end, it kind of just fizzled.
I mean, I didn't think this was a great love, but... To, like the timing of her and Bradley, like now kind of inversely becoming single and one of them seeing someone, like that sucks.
Yeah.
I just like have a hot take. Like, I think Bradley Cooper, like I'm like he like was handsome. The operative word being was.
Mm.
Like she should have stuck with Tom Brady.
She should have. I actually just turned on The Hangover the other night. I watched 3 minutes, but just enough to like remember that that's how we kind of were introduced to Bradley Cooper.
Yes.
And
he's yes.
so like his whole vibe and his whole brand has changed so much since that.
I have to remember what he looked like in The Hangover. He looked just like a regular like bro.
No, he was like the gorgeous, handsome one. Like Zach Galifianakis was obsessed with him.
And he had like long hair, right?
Yeah, and now he's like just a good looking actor.
Oh yeah. The long hair was nice. Yeah. What do you think he was hottest in?
I would have to go look at IMDb, but obviously American Sniper.
Agreed. I loved that like buzz cut beef patty look on him.
Yeah.
That was like, that's like my type.
Yeah. Are there people who don't find that attractive?
Yeah. I would say up until this point, Taylor Swift didn't find that attractive.
Maybe she did, but maybe those guys never were into her. So she like kind of survival method, like went the artsy route. But she was always singing about the football player who didn't like her.
But she was never dating them.
Because they maybe they didn't want to date. Like maybe it was out of self-preservation.
They wanted to date
maybe
her.
Maybe it was out of self-preservation. No, you listen to You Belong With Me. Like.
Okay, that was 17 years ago.
Right, but those sorts of things, like, they influence who you become.
That's
she true. Might have, like, put a wall up because she felt some sort of rejection from those people.
Yeah, I feel that. Maybe Taylor should date Nick Bosa next.
Sound off in the comments. Do you not find, like, big hunky men attractive? If you're a head or a woman.
Or a gay man.
Yeah. Sound off.
Sound off.
Are you ready for our next story that I know you're going to find really funny?
What number
it's
is
this? It's four.
Three? Oh, my God. No, I'm
so
not ready.
So I know
ready.
You're not
Pardon
ready.
Moi.
And you have to get ready because this is like literally a turdy.
Special?
A turdy dreamscape.
Oh, I can't wait. Today's episode and the turdy dreamscape is brought to you by Athena Club. We all know that as weather gets colder, our self-care routines often take a backseat. But this year, it's all about feeling comfortable and confident in our own skin all year long. So when we bundle up in our cozy sweatpants and long socks, there's nothing like the smooth feeling of freshly shaved legs. Plus, as the weather gets colder, there's no pressure around how often we want to be beach ready or showing our legs. So we really shave for ourselves, which is the best. So if you're looking to step up your shaving game, you have to check out Athena Club's award-winning razor kit. It's seriously the best on the market, and here's here's why. First of all, it is an absolute steal at just $10. Don't let the price fool you. The razor packs a serious punch. It comes with a beautifully made handle and two extra five-blade cartridges that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every time. It also has that magnetic hook that just reminded me I have to take down before I move and bring with me to the new place. I love my Athena Club razor. Shaving my legs just used to be something I was not interested in doing. It felt like such a chore, but now it really is like fun and flirty and fresh, and I get like smooth legs and Ben likes it. And the Athena Club razor mounted to my wall makes it so easy. The quality of the shave is a game changer. Their razor glides effortlessly thanks to those five precision engineered blades. The blades are perfectly spaced out to let hair pass through with each stroke, and you'll experience less irritation and less razor burn, which is always a win in our book. So if you're ready to upgrade your shaving experience, switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin that you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com, grab your razor kit today, and you can find Athena Club razors at your local Target as well. Plus, with your purchase of a razor kit and a blade subscription on their website, you can try their gentle body scrub for free with code TOAST at checkout. Just pick a plan for your razor kit, begin checkout, and add the code TOAST before placing your order to automatically add a body scrub to your shipment. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving. Today's episode is also brought to you by Collective. Freelance work is booming. So many people are taking the leap and starting their own business. But how do you maximize your earnings, minimize your taxes, and make sure you're legally compliant? It can be overwhelming, confusing, and it takes time away from your own billable hours. As business owners ourselves, like, that stuff is not fun, but you absolutely have to do it if you want to set yourself up for success. And something like Collective takes so much of that struggle out of the paperwork. So you need to talk to the experts at Collective.com. Collective was built specifically for businesses of one that are making over $60,000 in profit a year. Collective handles all of your back office work so you can focus on your passion, not the paperwork. And stick around because we're going to tell you how they can backdate your S-Corp and save you thousands on taxes this year. So Collective is the all-in-one financial solution for businesses of one. They handle your business formation, your taxes, your bookkeeping, even your payroll. Plus, if you're already an LLC, Collective can retroactively elect your S-Corp tax status back to July 1, which could save you thousands on your 2023 taxes. Collective members save an average of $10,000 per year on taxes with that structure, and a Collective membership truly pays for itself within just a few months. It's 100% tax deductible. So check out collective.com/toast before October 31st to potentially save thousands of dollars on your 2023 taxes. To sweeten the deal, they'll also throw in an extra $100 when you use our link, but you have to do it before October 31st. So go to collective.com/toast to get started with your personal team of self-employed tax experts, and they will also throw in an extra $100 off when you use our link. Collective.com. Focus on your passion, not your paperwork.
Thank you, Claudia.
I can't wait to hear this turdy dreamscape.
So I don't know if you've heard this, but Elon Musk said he would pay Wikipedia $1 billion to change its name to Dickipedia after accusing the website of losing its objectivity to the biases of higher ranking editors. So Elon commented, you know how they're always asking for money on Wikipedia, which you've shared. He said,
it's one of my least favorite things.
He said, have you ever wondered why the Wikimedia Foundation wants so much money? It certainly isn't needed to operate Wikipedia. You can literally fit a copy of the entire text on your phone. So what's the money for? Inquiring minds want to know.
You know, by the way, Elon watches the toast. I literally fucking said this. People around the world for free write up Wikipedia pages. They literally do all the work. I don't know what the hell Wikipedia is always asking us for a dollar for when they're literally like doing like forced labor.
Right. So he said he would give them $1 billion if they change their name to Digipedia. And then someone said, like, Wikipedia, take the money. You could always change it back after you collect. He said, 1 year minimum. I mean, I'm not a fool, LOL.
No, I'm dead. That's so funny. But I also need him to use his platform to get down to the bottom of what they spend their money on. And that's very interesting that he said, like, the code of the website is very simple. So it's not like this crazy, elaborate website that requires engineers aplenty.
Right. And also then you know how they add context to tweets. So they said, the Wikimedia Foundation is a charitable nonprofit providing free access to Wikipedia, while a text and English only copy of Wikipedia is about...
Wait, you slurred your words. Start again.
The Wikimedia Foundation is a charitable nonprofit providing free access to Wikipedia. We know that.
Oh, okay. So they're considered a nonprofit because the website's free.
Sure, but we're...
The toast is free.
We're just getting to what they use this money for. So it's to provide...
No, I'm sorry. I want to focus on how can you consider yourself a nonprofit because your product is free.
Claudia, in 2022, Wikimedia had $154 million in revenue with $145 million in expenses.
You said 154 and 145?
Yeah. What is $145 million worth of expenses going towards? That's the question.
No,
and
I'm
who
so
donated $154 million in revenue?
By the way, but is it considered revenue if it's donations? I'm so glad we're finally talking about this. Like, I'm a little, you know, peeved that I wasn't the one to start the national conversation about it because I said it first. However, I'm so glad, I've been dying to talk about it for a fucking minute. There is something weird at Wikipedia and no one's talking about it, but now they are.
So now let me ask you. I don't know what their motives are at Wikipedia and what they use all this.
So let me ask you. Would you give a fuck what kind of pants son of a bitch you shot you was wearing?
Let me ask you. I don't know what their motives are, what they need the money for, but on its face, Elon offers you $1 billion to change the name of your business to Dickipedia for 1 year. Do you do it?
Yes.
Yes.
One, because they're so committed to their nonprofit, which nonprofits like help people. Like, I don't know who the fuck Wikipedia is helping. We couldn't even use it as a trusted source for our term paper. Right. So like, it's really helping no one. Yes. Because then like the Dickipedia, like that, you get press and more revenue.
Yeah. Like if Elon said, I'll give you $1 billion to change the name of the toast to the dick for a year.
Bitch, I do it for a million.
Literally. Like, where do we sign up?
Yeah, but how do we get one of these offers? Like, Elon, okay, we will seriously change the name of our podcast to whatever you want. Minimum $1 billion. I'd do that in a second. Literally. How do we get one of these offers?
I don't know. I don't know what we'd have to do.
Someone send this to Elon, please. I need a cool bill. And the thing is, $1 billion is so much fucking money. And when you think about, okay, this is a company that made $154 million in revenue. Elon's offering them 10x that,
no, it's
right?
A great deal. Like, how do you turn it down? Just because of your pride of not being Dickipedia?
Right, like a true nonprofit wouldn't care about the pride, they would care about the profit.
Right, that's kind of like what happened with Twitter and the shareholders when he made them an offer that like they couldn't refuse. They have shareholders like who everyone would accept this deal, he overpaid right. for Twitter.
Right.
Even though he changed it to X and made it his own.
I'm not into X, I will say. Like, I'm still calling it Twitter.
X has really grown on me. I was just thinking about it this morning because I was reading something and it was like so-and-so posted to X, and really everyone has just adapted X being Twitter.
No, they really haven't. Like media companies, like for accuracy purposes, they have to say, like, I was watching football and they're like, make sure to follow the NFL on Facebook, X. Like, you have to say
right.
it.
And they have like time to prepare.
Colloquially, no. Yeah, they're reading from a script.
Right. Colloquially, okay, maybe it hasn't taken yet, but I think that it's going to, and when I think about X, it is so much more all-encompassing than the name Twitter. And that's what he wanted to be.
I don't disagree with that. I just like, I'm not a habit-changing girl. We know this.
We do know. It'll take 30 longer than the average user, but I think we're well on our way. Like, at first I didn't really see how this rebrand could happen so naturally, but I'm seeing it happen and I'm liking what I see.
I'm liking that Elon is having the important conversations on the platform that he bought, like Dickipedia. I'm obsessed. And also, did you see that Elon Musk made superchargers in Israel free? So like if anyone in Israel during the war like has a Tesla, like the charging is totally free.
I did.
Sorry, that's king shit.
Yeah.
Now give us the billion. Next.
But the thing is, I think he only like does it to things that he has a problem with. I don't know that Elon would have a problem with the toast.
I mean, I don't know how anyone has a problem with us. We are such a delight. We are two of the funniest girls. And I know us, like, offline. When I tell you there aren't two more caring, charitable, generous, kind girls, the fact that we have so many haters, like, genuinely blows my mind. We are amazing.
Yeah. It's so true.
It's just fact.
So I don't think Elon's trying to, you know, serve us.
Make us an offer we can't refuse.
Unless he just wants to support the cause.
Which is, come on.
Join Patreon. Elon, become a patron.
A for profit.
Elon, don't you want to see what size jeans I'm wearing?
I know I do.
Are you ready for our fifth and final?
That was a turdy
dreamscape.
That was a turdy dreamscape. Thank you.
Have you not heard that yet? The Dickipedia thing that he offered them a bill?
I think actually they were talking about it at a book club last night. Because I shared my fun fact about the superchargers.
So you're just talking about Elon?
We were talking about Israel. Mm.
As you do.
As one does.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
I really am.
Someone else has a memoir coming out this week who's been completely overshadowed by Britney, but he's telling his story as well.
Who?
John Stamos.
Let me think. Oh, actually, I did know that. I was never going to guess that.
John Stamos' addiction struggles, Hollywood romances, and more. Find out the biggest bombshells from his memoir. So John Stamos wrote his memoir, If You Would Have Told Me is what it's called. And he's mentioning it all. Divorce from Rebecca Romaine, his journey to sobriety, his time on Full House. It seems very...
He's lived a big life. I think he's actually the perfect person for a memoir.
I think so, too. So he talks about his alcohol reliance, how it picked up during his time working on Broadway, during his ER days. I didn't even realize he was on ER. He went on...
That's so Uncle Jesse.
He went on an entire press tour while fully drunk. He recalls his scary DUI incident that led to his hospitalization and eventually rehab.
I forget about a time in the world where Rebecca Romaine and Uncle Jesse were married. And I love Rebecca Romaine's marriage currently with Jerry O'Connell. Like, I think they're the real deal. And when he was on our show, he was talking about how, like, difficult it is to have your wife be married to someone who looks like John Stamos. And I forget about that time because I don't think I was, like, a conscious, you know, purveyor of pop culture. But, like, the most good-looking couple on the planet.
Yeah. He also talks about the heartbreaking moment he learned of Bob Saget's death.
Oh, yeah.
He has a lot of big things. Yeah, so he's mentioning it all in his new memoir.
Like, I really feel bad for him because, like, the timing of his memoir release couldn't be worse. Like, Jada Pinkett's was last week. Britney's is this week. He really should have waited one more week.
Yeah, but I'm sure it'll still do well.
Yeah, the Full House, like, fans are loyal.
And the John Stamos fans. Like, he's really acquired a lot of fans over the years.
Yeah, and he's also weirdly, like, a very digital person now. He's always used to be in, like, the Vlog Squad videos. He's good friends with Josh Peck. He does a lot of podcasts. He's very, like, social in terms of social media.
He was in the Vlog Squad videos?
Yeah, he used to, like, show up. A couple, like, big celebrities used to be in the Vlog Squad videos. Like, Howie Mandel was randomly in them all the time. And I think it was because Josh Peck was in the Vlog Squad. Josh Peck did a TV show with John Stamos called Grandfathered. And I think that's how, like, John met the crew.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, that was a crazy time.
And what's the Vlog Squad doing now?
So they've all kind of broken off in their own paths. So Zayn and Heath and Mariah and Matt have their own podcast. Then Carly, Erin, Matt, and Mike have another podcast.
What's David doing?
He has Views, his podcast, I think, with Jason.
Right.
And then, what's his name? Jeff with the eye and the crane. Yes, that's what ended the whole Vlog Squad, is that, like, David was making everybody do these crazy stunts on a crane in this lake, and Jeff literally almost went blind from it.
I thought what ended the Vlog Squad was the allegations against David.
That too. Yes, I forgot about that. Whatever. Jeff is, like, a very outspoken anti-Vlog Squad type of person. I do believe the rest of them are still friends. And they all do different projects, and they're, like, friendly with each other. They go to each other's weddings. Like, Matt just got married, so a bunch of people were there. But I do think there's, like, even beyond David and, like, the bigger people, there's, like, infighting. I remember reading there was, like, a fight between, like, a bunch of people. I don't know. The fact that disintegrated so quickly was so insane.
Yeah.
I don't even remember a time, but, like, I was obsessed with those videos.
Yeah, you were.
Obsessed.
Well, John Stamos's memoir is out now. Britney's memoir is out. The Camber and the Counselor is out, even though you literally can't get it anywhere.
Turd's memoir is out. It's been out for a while, but still, you can get it.
You can still read the story of the turd.
What should my next book be called now that I have this nickname?
Well, is your next book going to be, like, memoir part two?
I feel like my next book, I think I would do, like, a collection of short stories. But once I have more stories to tell, like, I need to have a child, you know?
Yeah, I love reading short stories about parenthood. They just crack me up.
Yeah, I think that's what my next book would be. So, like, come up with a cute name for me.
Okay, we have time?
No.
Speaking of.
No, we have time. So, that's our show. I have 13 text messages. I just know shit's going awry, like, at home.
Oh, right. You have things going on in your home.
I do have things going on in my home. It's very well said. So is that our show?
That is our show. No one else can claim it. If anybody wants to donate to it or purchase it, the price is $1 billion. So do with that what you will.
Cool billion.
Cool bill, Elon. And if you want to come on, Elon, we would love to have you.
Love. Thank you so much for listening to the Toast the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We are also available as podcasts anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where we listen to podcasts. Find us, the Toast, leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and beyond wickedly talented we are. Hope you have an amazing, gorgeous Tuesday, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Love you. Bye. Bye.